Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, lots of news to talk about here. Lots of business news to talk about here this morning with Evelyn Pyburn, the Big Sky Business Journal. I've got the hot sheet right in front of me here. Evelyn, I can't believe it's already almost June. It's just crazy. Memorial Day weekend, that's already this weekend, I think, isn't it?
This coming weekend, yeah.
Yeah, so, yes. Yeah, crazy how fast time's flying by.
But summer doesn't seem to be rushing at us. Although the rain is good, but still.
Yeah.
Not very many warm days.
41 degrees, I think, is the low for today in Billings, at least, where you're at. But, yeah, it's kind of funny. This is May weather. It may be 90 degrees and sunny. It may be 40 degrees and rainy. You just never know. Well, let's jump right into the business news here this morning. I think, a couple of really good headlines here. First, let's start with this story about bringing back sawmills and bringing back our timber industry in Montana. This is a bill that actually made it through Montana's legislative session.
Yes, it House Bill 876, called the Sawmill Revitalization Act, and it designates $6 million to be made available for loans to be administered by the Board of Investments and to reactivate closed sawmills in Montana. And if there's any money that's not spent, then it's going to go back to the general fund. The bill was proposed by John Fitzpatrick, and to address the huge number of sawmills that have been lost in Montana since the 1970s with all the environmental regulations, he pointed out that there was over 50 operating sawmills at one point in time in Montana, and that is down to about 5 now, and 2 of which closed in the last year or so. So one of the conversations about this legislation, though, was that this $6 million is nowhere near a significant sum of money to help get one sawmill started. And, you can be surprised that this actually passed, given the struggles that the state legislature had this year. But more than throwing money at it, they need to change laws so that sawmills can start. There's not enough money to throw at the problem if we basically have laws on the books that make it impossible for us to have a thriving lumber industry.
And also to change the law to where these radical environmental groups don't profit off of filing lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit or suing and settling under Democrat administrations, and to where basically our taxpayer dollars, thanks to these far-left liberal judges, ends up subsidizing the very environmental groups that are shutting down these very important jobs and these very important forest health initiatives as well. All right. Let's get to another great headline right after this with the Big Sky Business Journal.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll continue to see lots of clouds and occasional sunshine from time to time as we go through our forecast. We'll also have areas of rain off and on. Temperatures remain unseasonably cool, but we do have a warm-up for the second half of the work week, bringing temperatures a little closer where they should be for this time of the year. Lots of clouds today with areas of rain, high of 53. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
It's a dilemma for the media. Now, Bruce Springsteen started this particular fight by saying that Donald Trump is unfit to be president. And President Trump hit back, never liked him, never liked his music or his radical left politics. He's not a talented guy, just a pushy, obnoxious jerk. Well, I would dissent and say that Springsteen is a very talented songwriter and musician. Same thing with Taylor Swift. Ever since I said, I hate Taylor Swift. You notice she's no longer hot, by which I think he means people buzzing about her. Well, she finished her world tour and is lying low for a while. The question is, unlike when the president talks about the Middle East or tariffs or other substantive matters, do these stories get covered? Do they matter? Or are the media taking the bait when it comes to the likes of Trump versus fill in the celebrity? With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, real quick, speaking of the timber industry, this is kind of one of those good news, bad news kind of stories. So if you guys remember in Missoula, Roseburg Forest Products shut down. Well, there's a story on our Montana Talks website right now. Can film replace forest jobs in Missoula? Dennis Bragg has that news roundup for us here. Can Missoula become a hub for film and TV production? The partners behind the new Story House Montana believe it can, as they officially started operations at the former Roseburg Forest Products Mill on Friday. Last week's announcement comes almost a year to the day that the mill closed, idling 150 workers at a facility in operation since 1969. Now, they're saying that apparently this new film production hub, when it's at peak production, could support up to 400 jobs, with 85% of crew jobs using many of the skills that the mill workers and others already have or could be retrained for. So that's an update there. Evelyn, tell us about the Signal Peak Bull Mountains coal mine south of Roundup. Looks like some good news in the latest, budget reconciliation bill back in Congress.
Yes, I believe that this is probably, extension of our congressional delegates' effort to approve more federal approvals from for the mine to be able to continue. But Congress has added an 800-acre expansion for Signal Peak Energy at Bull Mountain into the budget reconciliation bill, and which was just passed another vote last night, from my understanding. But according to the Montana Free Press, the Natural Resources Committee bill authorizes Signal Peak to access federally owned coal beneath the Bull Mountains in accordance with an expansion plan the company had submitted to the Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement in 2020. In addition to directing the Interior Department to authorize the expansion, the bill allows for non-competitive leases of federally owned fossil fuels, creates a pathway for companies to pay for expedited reviews and guaranteed approvals of environmental impact statements, and reduces royalty rates for coal, oil, and gas, and reverses the Biden administration's moratorium on new coal leasing in the Powder River Basin of southern Montana and northern Wyoming. And so all of that is just really good for Montana and Wyoming. And, it helps the coal industry, which has been struggling and facing pretty bleak outcome here under the Biden administration. So as the big, beautiful bill continues, I guess this has a real good chance of getting across the finish line.
Yeah, big, beautiful bill, beautiful, clean coal included. I did check because I know this report was from, I think, from a few days ago in the liberal Montana Free Press, but obviously they had a budget vote over the weekend. So I did just send a message to both of our House members' offices just to see if this was included in the latest, vote that took place, I think, yesterday. And so I'll let our listeners know if we hear back. But, yeah, it's interesting that basically all Republicans voted in favor on the House Committee on Natural Resources, and only one Democrat actually voted in support of something like this. So when it comes to, hardworking, good-paying jobs for working-class folks like these coal miners, it's very clear that the Democrats – it used to be that coal was a bipartisan thing. If you came from a coal state, Democrat or Republican, you'd support coal because it was good for the working-class folks. But not anymore. That's become an ideological battle line. Apparently, this portion of the bill will generate $18 billion in new revenue and savings. And, of course, it has the support of all four members of Montana's congressional delegation. This will help Signal Peak garner access to an additional 175 million tons of coal, which will keep the coal mine up and running. And then, of course, there's still another effort alongside this one to support the Crow Revenue Act that would give them access to coal on private land and then also provide some much-needed revenue for the Crow Nation as well. Let's see, the northern border. We've got about 1 minute before the break here, Evelyn Pyburn, but you've been compiling some numbers regarding the northern border and northern border security.
Well, yes, they've come out with far more accurate and more clear numbers as to what's been happening on the northern border regarding illegal crossings. And not surprisingly, it's been worse than was being reported. But they said that the greatest numbers ever reported in recorded history in Montana, Maine, North Dakota, and Washington were reported in 2024. Over a two-plus year period, Montana experienced 30,474 apprehensions. And those were the number of people who were apprehended overall during that period of considering all the 14 states that bordered the Canada. There was probably a million, there were a million people apprehended.
Interesting. Hold that thought, and I see here that Montana set a record as well. Evelyn Pyburn, hold that thought. We'll talk more about our northern border right after this. Even FBI Director Patel weighs in.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Let's think outside the box for a minute about the future of transportation. 40,000 people die in vehicle crashes every year. Suppose we could cut that drastically. How? Driverless cars. Imagine for one moment a world where crashes were avoided. What would that mean? It would mean that we could have different kinds of vehicles. Smaller, lighter, more efficient, cheaper, more aerodynamic. We don't need airbags and huge bumpers. Lower fuel costs and lower insurance rates. The cheapest ones might be repaired the way we fix computers today, by replacing them with new ones. Lighter vehicles would call us less wear and tear on roads. We could use the same roads, garages, and parking lots we have today, but they could serve a lot more volume. Is this really so far-fetched? There are plenty of details to be worked out, like how we move things like freight and big families. Things like buses and commuter trains might become dinosaurs, but getting people to accept it might be easier than you think, especially if it costs a fraction of what we pay today. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. May is Lupus Awareness Month. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention describes it as a long-term autoimmune disease that affects many parts of the body and has many different symptoms and signs, making it a difficult disease to diagnose. The most common symptom is fatigue, always feeling really tired, which can impact both physical and mental health, in turn affecting your quality of life. Other symptoms include swelling or pain in muscles and joints, skin rashes, including a butterfly-shaped face rash, hair loss, fever, and frequent mouth sores. There are also less common symptoms like sensitivity to the sun, heart, lung, or kidney issues, fingers or toes turning blue or white or feeling numb, mental health conditions, even eye damage. Lupus has no cure, but can be treated and managed using medicine and making lifestyle changes. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
The One Big Beautiful Bill stalled in the House Budget Committee after five Republicans joined Democrats in voting against advancing it, resulting in a 16-21 failure. The bill aimed to extend 2017 tax cuts, bolster a farm safety net, and cut $1.2 trillion in federal spending, mainly from Medicaid and SNAP, while boosting military and border security funding. Conservatives oppose the bill for not cutting enough spending, noting many savings are delayed until after 2028, while spending is front-loaded. Key farm provisions included increased PLC and ARC payment limits, a mechanism to add 30 million base acres to coverage, and tax breaks like 100% bonus depreciation and a higher business income deduction. Next steps for the bill remain unclear. A new study warns the U.S. may struggle to manage an African swine fever outbreak due to limited testing and lab capacity. The study, done by North Carolina State University, says timely testing is critical, but densely populated farm areas could face major delays. The study found current lab capacity is capped at 1,000 samples per day, leading to median processing delays of 92 days, potentially up to 5 years in worst-case scenarios. African swine fever is highly contagious and often fatal for pigs, making rapid detection and containment essential. I'm Lane Northland.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
FBI Director Kash Patel, I think he was on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo, and here's what he had to say about the northern border in particular.
In the first 2-3 months that we've been in the seat under Donald Trump's administration, he has sealed the border. He has stopped border crossings. So where's all the fentanyl coming from still? Where's the trafficking coming from still? Where are all the narco traffickers going to keep bringing this stuff into the country? The northern border. Our adversaries have partnered up with the CCP and others, Russia, Iran, on a variety of different criminal enterprises, and they're going and they're sailing around to Vancouver and coming in by air. And the sheer tyranny of distance of the northern border and the lack of cooperation from federal authorities and prior administrations to actually firm up that northern border is what's causing a continuation of violent crime. Now, we're focused on it, and we're calling our state and local law enforcement partners up there. But you know who has to get to step in is Canada, because they're making it up there and shipping it down here. And I don't care about getting into this debate about making someone the 51st state or not, but they are our partner in the north. And say what you want about Mexico, but they helped us seal the southern border. The facts speak for themselves. The border that's open, I'll give you a statistic that I gave to Congress that nobody was paying attention to. Over 300 known or suspected terrorists crossed into this country last year illegally. Known or suspected terrorists, not illegals. Not just illegals, known or suspected terrorists. 85% of them came in through the northern border. Wow. This year, 100 known.
All right, there you go. That was FBI Director Kash Patel. Evelyn Pyburn, hopefully you were able to hear all of that while you're on the phone lines. Any reaction to what Kash Patel just had to say there?
Partly what prompted me to focus on this was the concern about the continued fentanyl coming into the country and illegal aliens and the terrorists especially, and I get the feeling from what I've read that the terrorists have really targeted Canada as the best means of getting into the United States, and I find it incomprehensible that Canada wants to become like Mexico with cartels and everything, but that seems to be what they are tolerating, and I look at, 30,000 illegal aliens coming into Montana. I mean, that with Montana's small population, that's a huge number for us to incorporate. I mean,
yeah, these are the greatest. You put this in the hot sheet here. These are the greatest numbers ever recorded in history in Montana, Maine, North Dakota, and Washington. So they're saying that over a 2+ year period, Montana experienced over 30,000 apprehensions by border patrol officials or ICE officials. I mean, that is insane over just a 2+ year period, especially when I've spoken with the sheriff of Toole County in Shelby, Montana. And he said, oh, yeah, we'd find these people, we'd detain these people, and the Biden administration would just put a lot of them right back out on the streets.
Yeah, and I think that we've all felt it and seen it, and it's having its impact on the state. I mean, 30,000 people coming here just migrating from other states would be a huge hit. I mean, in terms of how we would deal with these people looking for housing and food and jobs or whatever. I mean, that's just that's a big deal for Montana.
Yeah, that's right. And then we've got about a minute or so to go before we get to our Fox News update. But I know another big story you've been working on is worker shortages in the workforce you're seeing in the airline industry in particular.
The trades are having trouble finding workers for all the jobs that they have, and especially as more Americans retire. And the United States is losing valuable experience and skills. And in order to try to fill those positions, the businesses in the country are joining with high school classes and schools to train high school students to learn how to do things like welding and plumbing or electrical work. And the businesses are enabling students to work part-time and earn academic credit even, and earn money. And some high school students are getting job offers of as much as $68,000 when they graduate. And actually, I attended the Lockwood Career Fair, and some of the kids, the potential of them, I mean, they can have a career just within a few months after leaving high school in some of these trades and other job opportunities that are being offered.
That's right, and start making real money real fast without acquiring a huge debt load of student loan debt.
Right.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, hey, this is just one more reason you've got to sign up for the Big Sky Business Journal Hot Sheet and get the print edition as well. There's more where that came from. Evelyn Pyburn, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much for being with us. Hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend coming up as well, because I know we'll miss you. One thing I want to share with you here this morning, of course, we're going to have more time to take your phone calls. Plus, we got some great guests joining us later on in the 8 o'clock hour of the show and the 9 o'clock hour. Scott Jennings, the man himself, he's like the lone common sense guy on CNN. He's going to join us later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Plus, we've got the keynote speaker for the Yellowstone County Lincoln Reagan dinner. That's taking place this week. Nick Adams is going to join us in about 1 hour in the 8 o'clock hour as well. But Gordon Chang, if you missed it, we had Gordon Chang on the show Friday morning during our statewide 9 o'clock hour. Here's part of our conversation.
Man, I tell you what, Montana is so excited to welcome Gordon G. Chang to Big Sky Country, to the Treasure State here coming up Friday, June 6th. He'll be speaking in Columbus. Saturday, June 7th, he'll be in Miles City with the Patriot Roundtable there. Gordon G. Chang, you can find him on X at Gordon G. Chang. He's with the Gatestone Institute. He's also the author of Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America. Mr. Chang, what an honor to have you on the show this morning. Can't wait to see you here in Montana.
Well, it's an honor for me to be on your show and to eventually be in Montana next month. So we're really looking forward to that.
Well, yeah, I'm sure Montana's been on your radar because, hey, the China spy balloon, this is where it first broke as a public news story, and then the communist Chinese have been spying on our nuclear missile bases and more.
Yes, and you've got to remember, that balloon actually traveled over America's nuclear weapon sites. So you have Malmstrom Air Force Base, which is in Montana. There was Effie Warren in Wyoming and Minot in North Dakota, as well as that Command has its headquarters that controls all of U.S. nuclear weapons, and it's flew by Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri, where the home to all of our B-2 strategic bombers. So this balloon was going over our nuke sites, which means that China is preparing a strike on those sites.
Well, and big surprise there, it's also been documented that they have simulated American aircraft carriers in the desert that they're using for target practice. What is China's project to destroy America, or China's plan to try and destroy America, with about a minute or so to go before we go to our first break here?
Well, the most important thing is that Beijing believes it is in an existential struggle with the U.S. and must destroy our country if it is to survive. So this is a zero-sum fight. We can't cooperate with China as much as we'd like to, as long as it's ruled by the Communist Party, which means we have to recognize the fundamental challenge to our society.
All right, let's hold it right there. More with Gordon G. Chang coming up right after this, right here on Montana Talks. And then, towards the end of the hour, we'll sneak in some of your phone calls. And then we've got more open phones time later on in the 8 and 9 o'clock hours of the show today as well.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, real quick here before I play more of this conversation with Gordon Chang, Eric in Missoula sent us a message on the Montana Talks app, and I've actually reached out to Representative Jed Hinkle out of the Gallatin Valley, along with Gary Marbit with the Montana Shooting Sports Association, to see if either or both of them would want to join us on the show. But here's the question from Eric in Missoula. Why does the DNRC want to ban shooting on some public land in Gallatin County? Public comment period ends today. Yeah, Jed Hinkle, I shared this. If you go to facebook.com/Flint Report, I shared a message from Representative Hinkle that he published, I think, Friday night. Urgent recreational shooters and hunters. There is a petition to the DNRC to close the public state land near Logan to recreational shooting and potentially all recreation. After the Forest Service closed off 30,000 acres, sportsmen and women cannot afford to lose more land to sight in rifles, etc. Please send comments to the DNRC requesting that this public land remain open for shooting or only temporarily closed. The comment deadline is today. Here is the email to send your comments. DNRC closure petition at mt.gov. DNRC closure petition at mt.gov. And I'll get a story about this on our Montana Talks website here after we wrap up the show here later this morning as well. So thanks to Eric in Missoula for that message. All right, here we go. Back to it here.
So Axios Media, which is a left-leaning news publication, they basically said that, here's their headline. Hard data suggests that tariff-driven inflation and recession fears may be overblown. Oh, you don't say. Meanwhile, though, back in China, this whole tariff fight and this tariff war, whatever you want to call it, as I understand it, has really significantly weakened Communist Chinese leader Xi Jinping. Gordon Chang, your thoughts?
Yes, it certainly has. Even before President Trump took his second oath of office, the Chinese export sector was ailing because it didn't have enough orders. And we saw factories which were running at very low capacity. Of course, the tariff war has exacerbated that, where we see factories closing, workers are on the streets, they haven't gotten paid. And also, there are hints that with personal loans, the smaller loans now going bust, smaller financial institutions don't have the liquidity to pay back their depositors. So Chinese depositors are now on the streets as well. So this is a very dangerous situation. With the 90-day pause on the tariff war, that's certainly going to help because this is Christmas season for Chinese factories. And so they will have relief out of very important time.
This is when they build all the, I just want to say, all the junk that people are going to start buying about 6 months from now or so, basically, 5-6 months from now.
That's right, because you got to remember that it takes a long lead time for manufacture and then to ship into the United States. So essentially, June is the beginning of the Christmas season.
So, Montanans, we're in this interesting situation to where, okay, we understand the threat, at least our listeners do, we understand the threat of the Communist Chinese. We knew exactly what they were doing with that spy balloon, even as the media and the Biden regime was downplaying the threat. But simultaneously, we also want access to the Chinese market for our beef, which President Trump first got open in his first term, along with Montana Senator Steve Daines, and we want access for our grain markets as well. So we're kind of caught in the middle when it comes to understanding the threat, but also needing the opportunity.
Yes. One of the things about Xi Jinping, there are two factors. One of them is he is stockpiling grain and other commodities because it looks like he wants to go to war. But also, he does not want to be dependent on foreign sources. So really what the problem for China is going to be, for people looking at the China market, is that Xi Jinping doesn't want foreign products, and he certainly doesn't want American ones in general. And this has nothing to do with the tariff situation. So it's going to be difficult for people in Montana selling beef or grain or whatever to the Chinese.
He might do it temporarily just to, you know, as a political maneuver, but then eventually he'll figure out a way to dump their products on the market to undercut us and push us out at some point.
Well, yeah, they don't grow that much, and their food self-sufficiency has been declining. So they will need to continue to buy foreign food for at least a little while. But China is stockpiling a lot, which means that at some point they will not be purchasing abroad.
So it sounds like you really think because of Xi Jinping's weakened position that might force him to eventually break out a war situation, kind of like, you know, Vladimir Putin. His polls were sinking with the Russian people, so he wanted to then lash out and basically start a war to try to gain domestic sympathy. How do we as the United States of America press for reform, press this fight against the Chinese while not pressing so hard that it leads to an all-out war? Or is, what's your thoughts?
We only have limited influence on what happens inside the Chinese regime. So I don't believe that we should be trying to play politics. But a couple of things are evident. One of them is that we know the Chinese people don't want war. So it's possible Xi Jinping would try to rally the Chinese with a war. But I think that Xi believes, ultimately, that this is not going to be something that is going to be good for his support among the Chinese populace. I do believe, though, that he believes a war is in his interest because it will prevent other senior Communist Party figures from challenging or deposing him. And this is what his hero Mao Zedong did in terms of the Cultural Revolution, where Mao started the Cultural Revolution because he knew that by mobilizing the Chinese people, it would prevent other Communist Party figures from taking him down because his position was increasingly fragile before 1966 when he started the Cultural Revolution. So I think it's more elite politics play than anything else. But whatever it is war, and that means we have to prepare for it, we have to defend our friends and allies, and we have to defend ourselves because the Chinese are coming for us.
Very interesting. Well, Gordon G. Chang, he will be here in Montana June 6th in Columbus, June 7th at Miles City Livestock with the Patriots Roundtable there. I've got a full story on our Montana Talks website with the flyers and the details and more. Mr. Chang, about 30 seconds to go. What do Montanans need to hear? What do they need to know?
The most important thing is that it's not about us. It's about China, and the problems inside the Chinese regime means that they will, one way or another, reach out and try to hurt us. So it's going to be important for us to defend ourselves. This is not about us, not about our policy, not about what we say or do, but it's about what's going on in China, and we don't have any influence over that.
Well, great to chat with you. What an honor. Whenever I see Gordon Chang on TV, I make sure that I watch what he has to say and I hear what he has to say. Mr. Chang, thanks for being with us here on Montana Talks.
an honor for me, so thank you, Aaron.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. And I know there's Patriots across Montana looking forward to seeing you in person and hearing you in person very soon. Full story at MontanaTalks.com. I'm going to re-up it to the top of the page right now so that if you go there, you can see the flyers. So give me just a second.
All right, and it's there. It's there now as we speak. Yeah, I wanted to get that kind of top of the full, shall we say, on our website so that as people hear this, because, you know, you can say things once or twice, but sometimes you got to say it a few times, and then people are like, wait, he's coming? When? Where? Okay, that's where all the details are at. So it was interesting listening to what Gordon and I talked about late last week, later in the morning, once again, because you just pick up something new each time. He was talking about, and it ties right in with our earlier report. Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal was talking about these records that were set on Montana's northern border last year. Last year, as Joe Biden and John Tester were downplaying the southern border invasion and the northern border invasion, too, while they were just allowing it all to take place. But what did Kash Patel, the FBI director, say earlier? He said, look, the problem right now with fentanyl, he says, we've secured the southern border. The problem with fentanyl right now is the communist Chinese are basically using the far left regime controlling Canada right now. And then they're using a weak government in Canada and a weak border with Canada to get the fentanyl into the United States of America. And that's why our northern border is so important right now. And then you link that together right now. Gordon Chang says that basically China is preparing for an attack. China is preparing for attacks. Some might argue that they already are attacking with what they did with COVID-19, with what they're continuing to do with fentanyl and working with the Mexican drug cartels and more. All right, lots to talk about this morning here on the show. We've got phone lines open right now. Do you got something you want to talk about? Give us a ring, 406-294-0970, or message us on the Montana Talks app. Barring something from you, I'm going to go back to this story about a firearm discharge ban on public lands, that shooting range near Logan. I'll get back to that right after this.
My cat Freddy loves to be brushed and cuddled. But stirring up his cat allergens meant sneezing and itchy eyes.
Achoo!
Then I found Purina One Live Clear. It's cat food that reduced the major allergen and my suffering in as little as 21 days. Now, we feel closer than ever. If you have issues with cat allergens, you really need to try Purina One Live Clear. Try new Purina One Live Clear today. Purina One, a difference from day one.
Fox News commentary.
On this National Police Week, we honor the officers we've lost and all the brave men and women who risk their lives each and every day to protect and defend us all. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Every hour of every day, Fox News Radio is there with the latest breaking news and information you rely on.
This is a Fox News alert.
I'm Lisa Brady.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
With Fox News correspondents around the globe.
At the White House.
Simon Owen in London.
On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The news that matters most to you. The top headlines, all in one place. Listen and follow the Fox News hourly update at foxnewspodcasts.com or ask your smart speaker to play Fox News.
In all the hustle, bustle, and breaking news of the moment, I want to be sure we don't forget this week is National Police Week. This week, and hopefully every week, I ask we take a moment to honor, remember, and celebrate the brave men and women of law enforcement. So far in 2025, we've lost 25 officers in the line of duty, and that's 25 too many. Make no mistake, there is still very much a war on cops in this country. While I believe the majority of Americans love and support our officers, there are far too many who still demonize, disparage, and even want to defund our men and women in blue. We can't stand for that. Our country and our communities are stronger and safer when we loudly and proudly show our support for the thin blue line and those who risk their lives to uphold it. Thank you and your families for all you do. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll continue to see lots of clouds and occasional sunshine from time to time as we head through our forecast. Was of areas of rain off and on. Temperatures remain unseasonably cool, but we do have a warm-up for the second half of the work week, bringing temperatures a little closer where they should be for this time of the year. Lots of clouds today with areas of rain, high of 53, That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
Dubbed, labeled as, oh yeah, when so-called refugees from jihadi zones like Syria, Afghanistan, and the socialist nation of Venezuela were being dumped in Montana, so many in the Montana media were all aboard with sympathetic stories and headlines. But now that there's white South African refugees, the same media is saying they're dubbed as refugees.
Transform your yard with Ganans Heights Flowers Garden and Patio on the corner of Hilltop and Bench.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. I've got Gary Marbit responding here to this DNRC proposed firearm discharge ban, a ban on several sections of state lands in Gallatin County. Hey, one thought here, since I'm in the middle of yapping on the air here, Caden, I would have just shot you a quick message. I see we got Jim Riley on the phone lines from the Flathead. I would love to sneak Jim on right now, but here's another thought. We're live on KJJR a little after 8 a.m., and so I know we got a lot of Flathead listeners that listen on the app right now, even in the early morning hours of the show, but if Jim wants, I can either get to him now or I can save it for the 8 o'clock hour when he'll be heard by even more folks in the Flathead Valley. So if you want to check with Jim, see if he wants me to sneak him on now or wait till the 8 o'clock hour, I'm happy to go either route. All right, so real quick, I mentioned this message from Representative Jedediah Hinkle talking about how there is a petition to the DNRC to close the public state land near Logan to recreational shooting. And so he's now urging people to send their comments. The comment deadline is today. Send your comments to DNRC closure petition at mt.gov. Again, that's DNRC closure petition at mt.gov. But Gary Marbit, the president of the Montana Shooting Sports Association, has a very in-depth response to this whole thing. He is encouraging all of his members, and full disclosure, I am a life member of the Montana Shooting Sports Association myself. But let me get into what Gary Marbit has to say here. And, oh, good. Thanks, Caden. Thanks for checking in. Okay, Jim Riley is going to stick around, and he's going to kick off the 8 o'clock hour for us. That'll be great because he wants to cover several topics, especially some Flathead Valley-specific stuff. So that'll be perfect way to kick off the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Gary Marbit says this regarding the petition to ban shooting on state lands in Gallatin County. MSSA opposes the DNRC firearm discharge ban proposed by petitioners for thousands of acres of state-owned and managed land in Gallatin County for a variety of reasons. And he starts off by saying, look, I grew up on a 5,000-acre working cattle ranch. I've observed the consequences of unsafe or malicious shooting. He says, I am not unsympathetic to concerns expressed by petitioners. You know, he's a firearm safety instructor. So he understands the concerns of people who are petitioning to say, look, hey, because I think the petitioners are basically saying, kind of like the 17-mile range north of Billings, you know, some people aren't the most safety conscious that go up there. Some people leave a lot of trash. They leave a mess behind, you know. Unfortunately, it's just not like the Montana you and I all grew up in where people clean up after themselves. And it's just part of our culture where everybody knows what to do. But anyway, Gary Marbit says this. It is clear from recent history that the Bozeman area population is underserved for safe and suitable places for area people to shoot. There are mechanisms, resources, and strategies available to meet such needs. He says, it's admitted that there is a problem that needs to be addressed on a long-term basis. However, he says, it is beyond obvious that a ban on firearm discharge impinges on the right to keep or bear arms that the people of Montana have reserved to themselves specifically from government interference in Article 2, Section 12 of the Montana Constitution. The section mandates that the right shall not be called in question. And so he says such a discharge ban would be an impermissible restriction of a fundamental right. And so he is calling on MSSA members to email the DNRC and speak out against this petition, this proposal to ban the discharge of firearms in Gallatin County. He also raises another very interesting question. What is FWP up to? Are they looking to put a shooting facility there? How does that play in? So lots to talk about here.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Let's think outside the box for a minute about the future of transportation. 40,000 people die in vehicle crashes every year. Suppose we could cut that drastically. How? Driverless cars. Imagine for one moment a world where crashes were avoided. What would that mean? It would mean that we could have different kinds of vehicles. Smaller, lighter, more efficient, cheaper, more aerodynamic. We don't need airbags and huge bumpers. Lower fuel costs and lower insurance rates. The cheapest ones might be repaired the way we fix computers today, by replacing them with new ones. Lighter vehicles would call us less wear and tear on roads. We could use the same roads, garages, and parking lots we have today, but they could serve a lot more volume. Is this really so far-fetched? There are plenty of details to be worked out, like how we move things like freight and big families. Things like buses and commuter trains might become dinosaurs, but getting people to accept it might be easier than you think, especially if it costs a fraction of what we pay today. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.